So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're indeed privileged people to be gathered here tonight in your presence, knowing the things of God, knowing the hour in which we live, the deep secrets of Almighty God having been revealed to us. We're very grateful, Lord, that that is ours and that is a portion of the end time and bringing about all the things of God to come back to this earth, and we're very grateful for that. Be with us now as we continue to go into and look at that which we believe the vindicated prophet brought us, because you answered back to him, Lord, and we're satisfied there, for we have the truth. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, this again is the fifth message on the way of a true prophet, and we were on page 27 at the top pretty well when we finished the last time. And just for a little bit of a recap to sort of refresh us, we want to say that this sermon is actually all about Brother Branham, as it is a description of the way of a true prophet. And we believe that Brother Branham was a true prophet by reason of vindication, and specifically Deuteronomy 18 with Thus Saith the Lord. Now, there are certain major earmarks that he brought out concerning the way of a true prophet. And one of the major earmarks of a true prophet subsequent to authentication is that his ministry comes at a time of literal apostasy or in-depth backsliding, so that he is judgmental in his approach. Now, we want to sort of look at that. And that is, you'll notice that God does not come on the scene except in a time of crisis. Every single time, it was literally a time of crisis outside of the beginning in the Garden of Eden, where fellowship was broken. And you'll notice that it's at a time of idolatry, apostasy, or backsliding, that God sends this prophet in order to help the people who will come under his election, who have already come under it, and then to condemn that which is wrong. And you'll notice in doing it, he makes the elect aware of what is right so that they will discontinue from the path of evil. So that's important to understand that. And when he does come then, because it's at this particular period of time, emotions will run very high, because Brother Branham said that this prophet is going to call a spade a spade. He's going to scream out against all these things. He's going to go straight to the Word. And it will cause then a great deal of hatred. So, you find that in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and Jesus says there in verse 29, "Warned you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous." Now, notice what he's based that statement on. "And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." Now, that's exactly what the Roman Catholic said of Pope John. The 23rd had been the Pope instead of Leo with Tetzel, there never would have broken the church. So therefore, the Catholic Church will reap all the blood of all the martyrs. And by the way, I've got Smucker's Glorious Martyred finally in my possession. You can get copies if you want it. So I've had it. Brother Ungren gave it to me. So you'll be able to see what the other books have written, how terrible the Roman Catholic Church stands and will stand in the judgment. There is no hope, because they're condemned, and we know the presence of God, the same one that said this in the human form, is saying it now in the spiritual form. "Now, wherefore be ye witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them that killed the prophets." Now you notice right in there, the children of them that killed the prophets set up a bloodline, set up a seed line. And so therefore we know who they are. They go back to their father, the devil, as it says in John 8, that he was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And you know as well as I do that the devil never killed anybody. That was Cain. So therefore, you can see the manifestation of Satan in the seed. That was Satan's seed. "Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" That's the old serpent again. "Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes." Notice, prophets and wise men and scribes, "and some you'll kill and crucify, some you'll scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city." That's exactly what they do today. They'll frame you, they'll rob you, they're everything under God's high heaven. until you acquiesce. The Pentecostal church has a tacit understanding that if a preacher gets into some kind of sin or some kind of a mess, and then, of course, if he repents and they move him to another state, then everything is fine. Well, he's going to hell just the same, no doubt, in the whole organization with him. What's geography got to do with it? Did geography improve anybody? Let's go where the geography improves us. And every time you go where the geography is supposed to improve you, back to the Garden of Eden, you got a bigger hellhole than ever. Which is why Los Angeles and Miami and those places are such hellholes, because the climate is beautiful and everybody runs there. And who gets there fussiest with the mostest? The devil and his crowd. So much for geography. Fap. Oh, my God, have pity on us. Never get fooled by that junk. And persecute city to city. That upon you may come. Now listen, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from the blood of righteous Abel. That fell upon Jerusalem. The same thing is said in the book of Revelation, the blood of all the martyrs is found in Rome. Yes, sir, right today. The blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. Verily, son, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now, you notice how he says here, then Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone those that are sent to you. How often would I have gathered thy children? How? By the prophets. So therefore, our gathering together unto the Lord Jesus Christ is by a prophet. That's the word of God. I don't care what he says. There's a bunch of out there. People don't like my language. Send the tapes back. That's right. Send them back. Nobody asked to take them in the first place. In fact, I could stop it tonight. He said it. And why did you believe it? Don't believe nothing. Couldn't keep straight because they couldn't hide behind a corkscrew themselves. They're thinking of delirium treatments based upon the drunkenness of the wine of their imagination. Stimulated to verbosity to hell. Knowing they're going to be judged by their own words. I don't care how tough I get up here, as long as I stay with the word. If I stay with this word and don't tell you one lie, and get as tough and hang just as tough as possible, and make God give me a backbone like a saw log when the pressure comes down. It'll come down, don't worry. Easy to say things now. There'll be grace down the road just the same. If you decide to gather your children by the prophets, you wouldn't do it. Do you think people are going to believe seven angels came down? The Holy Ghost in the form of seven angels? Seven theophonic forms? God in a manifestation came down. Prophet goes right to the Bible. Ha! These guys believe any sour thing under God's high earth. Prophet checked it out. They believe any old junk. My heavens. God gathering his children said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Desolate. When the religion of Israel fell, it fell. It'll never come back. I'll get you in Malachi later on and show you what's going to happen, although you already know it. Now he said, you're left desolate. Now he said, behold, your house left desolate. I say unto you, you'll not see me henceforth. You say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Christ revealed in this hour. They haven't cried, blessed is he yet, but they're going to cry. Now, the hatred, I said, is intensified. So we're going to go back now to the third paragraph on page 26 to get caught up. A lot of people say it's good to be a prophet. It is, if you're ready to sell it everything of the world and stay with God and his word. No, we wouldn't receive him by any means, our denomination today. We certainly wouldn't have anything to do with Amos. Listen to him blasted. He said, the very God that you claim to believe in, he'll destroy you. Now listen, get this flat, brother, sister. Then faith isn't worth a plug nickel outside of a genuine revelation. Now where are you going to go saying, I believe God, and we're talking now concerning dispensational, eternal truth, not a little healing. Or God get me out of a lion's den. Or God get me out of a fiery furnace. Or God get me out of a mess. or God help me because I'm broke. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that he said, you have made void the doctrine of God by a tradition. He said, oh, doctrine doesn't matter. Doesn't it matter? Come on. I get so sick and tired of people that say they believe this message. You go every old which way. Boy, listen, they'll boil it down where a boiled owl is a cooking hen. Just try eating a boiled owl sometime for a cooking hen. Talk about indigestion. You'll get indigestion on this too. Now listen, the very God that you claim to believe in, he'll destroy you. Then what kind of faith have they got? They sure got the wrong kind of faith somewhere. Now they know he's there. Israel knows the history right now. And they still go way back to Moses. Why don't they go back to God for a change? Moses didn't work. They're back in the homeland. Moses still hasn't worked. They're still looking for something. That something will come when they say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now he said, he'll destroy you. Now that's a fine reward for people sticking up for God. Then the sticking up wasn't for God. Because God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. And we're going to show you they ain't got love either. So where's the faith? And I said, I'm going to pin this down. You got faith tonight if you believe this message. You got a genuine revelation brought by a prophet. You have genuine faith. Because you see, Elijah came at a time of apostasy. They were doing the same thing. Now he said, we're going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. We're going to get the children's heart. The whole thing is going to be right now. How was it done? It was done through a manifestation that this was indeed God. I say, well, just a minute. Brother Branham proved this was indeed God. Hallelujah. Then we all got God. No, you ain't got God because you ain't got this God. Because this God said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're all Trinitarians. Where's your faith? Way of a true prophet. Not going to pull these punches. Let me tell you, if he brings forth kids, they're not going to pull their punches. Now, they're not going to approximate daddy. Come on. Are you kidding? We could all approximate daddy, have a lot of daddies running around. What kind of a family would that be? Hoy, yoy. Sons. Sons. How would they receive that? The very God you say you believe in. You don't believe in. He's going to destroy you. The very God that Pentecost believes in, as Pentecostal folk, from the very immoral acts and things that they're doing and permitting to be done, that very God will bring judgment upon those organizations. That's exactly what Amos said to them. See? Everything outside the true church. Nothing outside this message come to light. Oh, they said, we got Abraham, we got this, we got the law, we got priests, we got prophets. Oh, brother, those eyes and arrogance looked upon them and blasted that word into them. Yes, sir, sure they wouldn't receive him. No, sir. He said, they'll destroy them with their man-made doctrines. Well, that's where it starts. That's what he tells you today. That's what William Branham told him. Now, what's the preacher's going to tell him? What are you going to tell him? Where's your witness? End-time evangelism. Try, if I tell there's one God, I'll start an argument. Then start an argument. Well, come on, what's the matter? Certainly, that's the way to do it. Start an argument. And laugh at him. Go to a hen party and scream like an eagle. Invade the chicken run. They ain't going to like you. And quote him, say, what are you going to do? The scripture said Jesus is a man. Now, you can't have your cake and eat it. I like to see a half dog, half moose sometimes. Well, I don't know if it would or not. They don't know theology. He said, the very God that your church buildings, that you're building churches through past millions, your very shrines you're building to Jehovah, that you came, that you love, now we got to love. Faith, hope, and love. Hope is an earnest trust, earnest expectation. Now you got a phony faith. Now you got a phony love, so you've got a phony expectation. Now, I didn't write this. I'm reading it. But you see, I've been preaching this. Of course, the tapes are out now. It's going to get all the flack. But I haven't preached the last sermon yet. And I want some answers. I know I'll get mine from God. I got no problem because I believe the prophet. He said that you claim that you love that very God will destroy you because you're rejecting His word. Now, there's supposed to be a love affair going on here. Now, they claim they got the agape love. Yeah. And the agape love is toward your brothers, too, because that word agape just means the highest, that's all. The word God is not in it. See? Turn right around, use the same word on the world. That's where they put it. Now then, if that love is wrong toward God, how can it be right toward man? Now, you could have some kind of watered-down filial love. Or you have agape perverted love. A thorough misunderstanding. But you see, there's a prophet involved here. And that prophet is saying something. He said, you're talking about the God I'm talking about. You don't even know Him. So you just think you're talking about Him. You've got a God of your imagination. You're off in everything. You claim you love Him, there's still down. If that's the way it is, how come He's going to destroy you? You say you've got faith in Him, how come He's going to destroy you? Now that's some kind of a God to be linked up with. And this is a marriage of a love affair. He said, I'll tell you what, you don't believe in Him, you don't love Him, you don't trust in Him. You say you do, but you don't. Well, certainly they got a plethora of gods, not one God. Now He said He's going to destroy you. Why? Now listen, because you're rejecting His word. So therefore, rejection of word, there is no faith. There is no hope. There is no love, as far as God's concerned. Oh, I know people say there is. Well, you do what you want. I disagree. I disagree 100%. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You say, well, you're pretty offhand about it. Well, I'm just convinced, because I've seen too much. Now, we tell you something, brother, sister. If the Word of God can end up garbage, it's not the Word of God. If the Word of God produces garbage, it is not the Word of God. Don't tell me it is. It's when they get off the Word. It was getting off the Word that produced the bastard seed that turned Eve into a prostitute. It was getting off the Word that caused the curse. And the same Bible turns right around and said, you love, not as Cain. Oh, no, don't get that kind of love. Oh, he loved God. He said, well, he said, here it is, the Bible. I got the sacrifice. Well, I got faith in God. What kind of faith did he have when God came on the scene and said, you're wrong? Oh, he said, get out of here. I hate you. You're going to get that skunky. Well, come on. Got the same thing right here. I don't know what kind of... Let's go home. Ain't no use fooling any of us all over. Best thing you do is just go home and look out the window. Go to work, of course, to get the food. The money to get the food to eat. You know what? Let me tell you something. Get this flat. You say, Brother Bill, what's going on? I say, never mind my notes. What comes to my mind, I preach, because I've been thinking about these things. I'm going to tell you what's going on. Peter said, the people say, nothing has changed since the fathers fell asleep. They don't know that God is holding the world and what? In store for judgment. Now, that's the entire cosmos system. That is the godless. The word of the ungodly. He is going to purge the earth, the church, the Jews. Now, what is wrong? Let's go back to type. He said, listen, time is up. The 400 years have expired, but the cup of the Amorites is not full. Now, he said, they don't realize the earth is held in store. It's stored right here. There it sits, like it's in a warehouse.
and nothing can happen until everything that's supposed to be in that warehouse is in there. Now, I'm going to draw a little lesson here right now. Sin hasn't run its course. It's beginning to run its course. When a woman in a church playing the piano, a divorcee, so are some of you men sitting here, will sleep with young men. I've been telling you all along, the Apostle Paul said, one of the big signs was sex. Illicit sex. And this congregation could blow higher in a cut with illicit sex, too. And don't think it couldn't, because every church got three kind of believers. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But listen, these tapes go around the country, and I'm going to preach God's truth as I see it. And there's going to be more and more con artists. Which means go right down the road to conning in religion too, a farce. And there'll be people falling right into the trap of sin. And there'll be lies. And we're just getting to the place where this is going to keep growing. And I could be a con artist right up here lying in your teeth. Funny thing is, I sure preach the word though. I could be a phony to lead people. I don't believe I am. I try to be honest. Let me tell you, brother, sister, it's beginning to snowball. And you're going to find more and more and more people who just can't tell the truth, who will not live the contented sexual lives they're supposed to have if they're married, or refrain if they're not married, or get married if you're supposed to get married. Or people who cannot be honest. Oh, a thousand excuses for it, but I'm going to tell you, here's the word of God says. He's watching a snowball. And when it's through snowballing, and it's wrapped up, see, because the fan is in the hand already. Yeah. He has pronounced the bride spotless virgin. She cannot add to her righteousness if she tried, because he is here. Her advocate, her all in all, to present her at the great reincarnation. But the world is snowballing. And that's what Brother Branham came as, a faithful prophet of the end time, a way of a true prophet. And he stood up there and condemned them. Stood right up there and blasted the thing. Yeah. And he said, the very God that you in America say you worship is going to destroy you. Now, if he didn't say that, then William Branham was not a true prophet. He was a phony. And if I don't say it, I'm a phony preacher. And if you don't say it, you are phony believers. Phony is $3 bills. I haven't seen one yet, except somebody sent me one for a joke. It was a joke. The church can't walk with God, brother, sister, because they rejected his word. The church disagrees with the prophet, thereby disagreeing with God. Only the bride agrees with God, because she agrees with the prophet. Now, let's understand this. The scripture categorically says, Brother Branham, quoting Matthew 5:48, be it perfect, even your Father's heaven is perfect. He said, now God commanded it be so, then God made a way. And people say, well, no, don't just get to the original Greek. It doesn't say you got to do something about it. It says you accept what God made a way for you to be perfect. And that's exactly what the prophet said. Now you got the same thing here. You got a prophet coming. He made a way. The way of a true prophet of this hour is the same today. The very God that America claims to serve will bring judgment upon the nation and destroy it. I hope that gets so deep you'll never wiggle out of it. He said, I quit praying in 1956, right? The very one that you claim that you love. And with your own man-made dogmas and the immoral life and decay that you've got in you, away from the word of God, will destroy you someday. That's thus saith the Lord. Nothing else left for them. Now, this is William Branham's own witness that he is a true prophet of God, not like Balaam. Because Balaam was going to bless sin. Why, he was going to say to them, oh, boy, sure, you can take over, you're fine. Why, he had the sacrifices. Read them for yourself. He acknowledged the coming of the Son, the rams that were sacrificed. Acknowledged all those things. But he was wrong. A dry rot had come in. Now listen, he said, line up with the word of God, preach to them, cross the nation, tell them the truth. This is ministry. The ministers fuss and scream and carry on, and the man is condemned. The organizations turn you out. Women shake their heads and won't let their hair grow up for anything. Wear clothes just exactly the same year after year. That's like pouring water in a duck's back. Then you claim to love God. Now he's admitting, you see, that he's God's prophet right there. Now what does it say in John 15:24? He said, if I had not done the works no other man did, they'd not sin. Now you show me where anybody ever did the works of William Branham. I want to see it. Anybody can talk. Anybody can talk. Anybody can take what Brother Branham said and twist it as though he said something that they thought he was saying when he wasn't. And Jesus said, but now they got no cloak for their sin. He said, because they have both seen and both hated me and my Father. Now remember, he spoke as the prophet. Are you that prophet? Yes, I am that prophet. Are you the seed of the woman? One and the same thing. Yes, I am. If you do not believe that I am, which is Jehovah, you will die in your sins. Now, then you claim to love God. Jesus said, you've taken your traditions and made the commandments of God an effect. That's the way of a true prophet, see? It's not an easy way. It's not what everybody thinks it could be. Jump up and down, scream, everybody pat you on the shoulder. Then that's a sign you're not a true prophet. That's one of the very signs you haven't got what you're talking about. When everybody says, hey, everything is fine. We're getting something he said about, some man said about him later on now. When did they ever pat him on the back, lest they had an axe to grind? Why, he'd turn around and condemn them. Now remember, Satan flatters, but God doesn't. Couldn't pat Amos on the back. Couldn't pat Elijah on the back. Couldn't stand for that stuff. No, sir. He told them God's truth. And if heaven is so great, and where we're going to, then if we can't line up with little bitty petty things, how are we going to line with the Spirit there? You've got to line with the Word. Now, he's telling you, the thing which is in the future is so great that if you can't start down here where a Word is given under vindication, you're never going to make the big move you talk about. People always talk about the great things to come. But remember, the Word of the Lord was precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little, and they were stumbled and caught and completely destroyed. They couldn't take the little things. Couldn't take anything. Now, he said, you got to line with the Word. That's the way of a true prophet. Though it tears him to pieces to say it. Now, a lot of people think, hey, that guy up there, he's just running off the mouth. He takes a lot of fun in whamming things like that. Oh, no, no. No, sir, not at all. Not at all. You say a lot of things when you're preaching, when you're up here, and you simply know that the thought's got to run in continuity with the proper expression, the proper emotions, the whole thing. And you know jolly well if it's under condemnation, there's condemnation. Nothing you can do about it. But then you get to one side and you watch how it hits you. Tears you to pieces. That's right, but that's the way he blasted. Oh my. You know what he said to them? He said the tumult, if you notice here, he said, that tumult is not in the government, it's in you. In other words, the unrest. That which perturbs. See, the ferment. Tumult is in the church. Your form of godliness. That's what's caused the trouble. Now, you get that people back. Let's find out you get them back. 1-2 Thessalonians. Preach this many a time. And you who are troubled, rest with us. Relax. When? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, 7 of them. In flames of fire, bringing vindication. Which vindication is judgment. Because God pronounces the bride's righteous, rest, you're out and sin, you're going to die. See? All right, that's going to bring a rest. That's going to bring relaxation under the seventh seal, because that is the seventh seal right there. Okay. The tumult's in your form of godliness. That's what caused the trouble. See? The reason, now listen, the reason communism sweeping the land is not because of communism itself. That is, it's doing it. It's because of the church. It's because of the people. Now, I know right now we beef about a socialistic type of government. Actually, our government is more Nazi than communism, more fascistic. Government intervention and capitalism. Private control. So there's nothing left. And by the way, if you think of my thoughts on the tax system aren't wrong, you better go up to Canada where I've just been. And they decide they wanted to raise taxes. And so what they did, they absolutely went in and destroyed countless businesses by railroading the businessmen and just getting the money. And they couldn't do one thing about it. They just broke business after business. They said, no such thing. You're going to pay whether you think you should pay or not. So they tried to get Brother Alphonse for $1,800. He said, I was allowed these deductions. It's legal. I stand on my rights. He paid the $1,800, went to the bank, borrowed the money, then fought him. Finally wrote him. He said, well, he considered a nasty letter. They sent $1,400 back. They still got him for $400. Business after business has been broken up there by the tax system. That's their IRS. Here, the publicans who do what they want. But I'm going to tell you, there's a righteous day coming, brother, sister. Now, just wait. Just wait. Oh, you say, shouldn't be riled up. Why shouldn't I? Nobody's riled up anymore as long as they're in the driver's seat. Judge doesn't get riled about rape or anything else. No, because his son might do it, he might be doing it. They draw us into the cart room. Nobody says a word. You try to be right, they'll hang you for it. See? But what has he said right here? He said, here it is. They call themselves Christians. They sing like angels, trained voices, speak with eloquence, like they were archangels, but disbelieve God's word like the devil. Because they're devils. That's right. Sing like an archangel, dress like I don't know what, and deny God's word. A man to preach in the pulpit that'll stand there and call Dr. Reverend, ask him, did the Bible speak baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? He'll laugh in your face and take Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And call yourself a child of God? Women, knowing the Bible condemns and do certain things above the hearing, act like the word, wearing more clothes and things like that. They'll cost you to do it anyhow. Speak in tongues, jump up and down and shout. Have old ladies' societies and sewing circles and send missionaries to the field. What kind of missionaries? Oh, brother. I was challenged years ago down there in South Carolina on that deal. Women said, well, you men didn't go, so us ladies had to go. I said, just a minute, sister. Just a minute. I said, my Bible said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. Did you pray? She looked at me stunned. I said, of course you didn't pray. You just went ahead and did it. You're out of God's will. Of course, that was like a lead balloon. But the thing is, I'll meet her on Judgment Day. Strangest thing, I'll meet her on Judgment Day. I will. That's right. Not that I want to. I'm not even interested in the sense of the word, like, you know, but I will be interested because of his word. I said, sister, consider. Isn't it a strange thing? Here's a farmer, and we got farmers here. Wouldn't it be like Brother Evans, of course, the biggest farmer, which doesn't mean too much in the sense that he's not a thousands and thousands of acres. Wouldn't it be great if Brother Evans said to his kids, now, children, my wife, will you pray that I will get some laborers out here to get my crop? And they say, Daddy, you've just gone crazy. God's book's a funny book. God's book's a peculiar book. He didn't say anybody sinned. He said, you pray that the Lord will send. A very strange kind of farmer. Right? Yeah. People got funny ideas. Better get their ideas lined up with the Word of God. See? Church was praying. They said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas. Praying, that's what did it. Some didn't pray hard enough, I guess. Barnabas sort of fell by the wayside. Now listen here. He said it becomes a stench to the sight of God. Thus saith the Lord, he'll destroy the whole thing. But that's prophecy, he thus saith the Lord. Your missionary societies and all these things are condemned. You're advocating your own plans by little things that are like tongues interpretation and little manifestations. It's going to go down the drain. It's not an easy thing, but that's the way of a true prophet. Blast it out there and say it, whether it hurts or not. John was a true prophet. He said, the answer is laid to the root of the tree. That's the way of them. Don't you realize the axe was laid to the root of the tree of Israel? They can't rise anymore under the law. Nothing but nothing will turn until they say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, and he stands there exposing himself. That's exactly right. Now, we've got a prophet right today. Before I talk about that, let's go back to Matthew 12. The scripture says concerning the end time that he'll come with the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. The bruised reed he won't break. The smoking flax he won't quench. That's exactly right. He comes right at this moment and he said, I'm going to retrieve. I'm going to bring a reprieve. I'm going to rescue the whole thing. Now, he didn't with Israel. He knocked it right off, except for the few election. But when this runs out, see, the times, he stands here in our midst. He doesn't raise his voice in the streets. He doesn't incite Jerai, none of those things. But then he said, when I'm through, when the bruised reed is not broken, the smoking flax is not quenched, he said, at that time, when I'm here with Elijah, he said, I will destroy root and branch. That's right. The axe has been laid to the root again. The Gentiles will never rise. His brother Branham said, show me an organization that ever came back. It can't come back. Oh, fiddlesticks. The only day it'll come back, it won't be an organization. The redeemed will come back standing on this earth. Luther Wesley. Wesley wasn't dumb. He said, I'm not afraid the name of Methodist will ever depart from the face of the earth. But he said, I'm afraid the Holy Spirit will. And he spoke in terms of a dove. When it's left, all that's left is a little manure heap. Visible signs the dove was there. What visible signs the dove is here? The word has been turned literally to every table full of vomit. Yes, the dove was here and the dove flew. Now, if this message could organize, it would turn to the same wiggletails that Brother Brown spoke of. Sure, the trouble's in her. Sing like angels, dance like devils out there, dancing, carrying on, card playing, racetracks. Pentecostals going to place amusement, picture shows, crowded with them. Every place, any kind of an old play or anything else, right down there, races, everything. Call themselves Christians, go up and shout, speak in tongues, take feet washing, communion. As a dog goes to his vomit, the prophet said, so do they. If that thing was of the world and had to be kicked out of it, why do you turn back to it again? Right. Out in the street twisting, they call it rock and roll, bobbing hair, wearing shorts, oh my, calling themselves Christians. Could you ever? No, I better not say it. That's why I condemn them. If I'm going to stay with the word, if this word comes to me, I stay with this word. This is what comes to me, the word. Condemn it? Claims to be led by the Holy Ghost and do such things. He's talking about them, they claim to be led. Claim to believe the word and do those things. Could you imagine a woman being led by the Holy Spirit, let her hair be bobbed when the very Holy Ghost condemns it? Then what kind of a person is the Holy Ghost? Could you imagine? Could you imagine a preacher stand in the pulpit and any man challenge him to show one place that was ever baptized, they were ever baptized using the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and laugh in your face and call you fanatic by baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now he's led, and say he's led by the Spirit, and say he's got the Holy Ghost. Would the Holy Ghost deny his own word? No, sir. Do you see? I hope you get it. Now, I he said, the next blow-up may get me. His gun went off, you see. But until it does, I'm going to stand right there with the word. When I meet you yonder at the judgment, I'm going to be standing right by that word. And that's what I believe to be the truth. No, you don't do things like that and then have the Holy Ghost. Now, I remember the gun did explode, of course. I remember then the vision he had, the great explosion. He thought his life was taken. The ministry angel, and then, of course, he was killed in the car wreck. A minister's wife one time sitting up there with a dress on, a horrible-looking thing. You say you ain't got no rights. I have got a right. That's the word. Preach it all. You bypass those things. A lot of sissified preachers, because they haven't got the audacity, maybe they haven't even been called to preach in the first place. Then what about a preacher stand up and say, well, these things don't matter? See, he's got no call. But a true servant of God will say with that word, he's got to be in the same mold as a prophet somewhere down the line. Now, he's not a judgment preacher, that's a prophet. But he's got to stay with the judging word. Do you understand that? Now, that's right. Minister's wife sitting there all squeezed up in a dress with earrings hanging on and makeup and short bob hair when God condemns the whole thing as filth and then saying, you got the Holy Ghost. I was preaching here and finished not long ago, something like that. Minister's wife sitting in the pulpit, I guess behind the pulpit, with one of those boyish bobbed hair all kinked up and a dress that she couldn't even keep her underskirts from. They got shining, but a shinnying. You know, he calls shinny up. You know, creeps up. That's the word you use. when your skirts and your petticoats begin to creep up, leaving you exposed. So he's saying, shinning up, creeping up, see? Couldn't get down over her knees, about 4 or 5 inches above her knees, sitting up there, jumping up and down, leading songs. I blasted just as hard as I could. Of course he won't invite me, but I don't expect him to. He knows right from wrong. When I stand at the judgment, it's not on my hands anymore. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter, and just find out about that. This is very interesting, this book of Ezekiel. All right? And it says here, now I'm going to read just about 17 to 21. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked in his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, his blood will I require at your hand. If you warn the wicked, and he turn not the wickedness, nor from his wicked way he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, and his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, thou warn the righteous man sin not, he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he's warned, and thou hast delivered thy soul. Now that tells you right there, here's a fine man. But there comes a juncture. He's wrong. Vindicated prophet, God in the form of Philippi, Holy Ghost stands right here and condemns what that man breathes. If he doesn't turn to the truth, he's gone. Every organization is dead. Every organization is dead. Spiritual death has set in. It is over. We are just waiting for rigor mortis. Brother, sister, that's an awful thing to look for. The church has vegetated. As Brother Branham said, there's nothing left in the soil. He said, if your body gets weak, what about your brain that turns to mush? What about the church out there? Full of insanity. It's a pity. A man, so-called teacher, which I don't say he isn't, made a remark the other day before some of my friends in a certain city I've been into. You know the brother. And a brother came and they said, we had a Brother Branham here once, a certain city out west. This man said, oh, Brother Branham's a good man. He knew better than to throw anything on the character. Now, right there, I'm going to say that Brother Branham had a character a lot like the Lord Jesus Christ. He could turn his cheek everything else, just like in the judgment. He could do things that nobody else would do. Just like the Apostle Paul said, we were called, Peter said, all agreed that we were set forth in a way that nobody else was set forth. So was William Branham. Don't try to be a prophet. Don't try to be like him. Aspire, yes, to follow closely. Do your best. But don't ever think you'll be a William Branham, because William Branham was in a tube, a straitjacket. There isn't one man sitting here that couldn't have smoked, but William Branham couldn't. There isn't one man here who couldn't get up and commit adultery. William Branham couldn't. And when he stood before God, his claim was, I've never committed adultery. Young kids saying that. You can understand today, young kids might say that at age 12, 13. Back in his day, it was different. Back in our day, different. See where your system is? See where the church is? Don't blame the government. The church can run the government any day of the week, and it's going to one of these days. Church called young Bobby Kennedy's bluff. He investigated the professors, the teachers. See, if they were calling me, that was fine. But when they said, well, investigate the pew now, the pulpit, they said, oh, you're dead. The vote's gone. The Methodist church called his bluff. They're the worst of the worst. You know why? Because they're legalists. They don't even need Jesus Christ. They got a way figured out. Just abstain from rum. Get you with the Triple A's. No, two A's. Triple A's. American Association of Automobiles. Same difference. They got the wrong gas. And no spark anyway. He knew better than to show off in the character. He said, Brother Branham, but don't you listen to his taste. They'll get you confused. There happened one of my friends standing there, just a minister, he said, I was confused until I heard the text. And that's the difference. He said, I couldn't understand how a holy God would put up with such things as that, as you people all do. See, the man rebuked him. Same person, others stood with him in a certain place not long ago. Brother Branham's a prophet. He can discern things like this, but don't listen to his doctrine because he's not right. That happened right here in Ohio, in Chautauqua. See what a paradox is there. There's the expert. There's the authority. They say, well, don't listen to him when he explains. Don't listen to him tell why he's got this ministry. Don't let him tell what it's all about. Oh, brother, can you imagine people going to a stockbroker's meeting and acting like that? Better have some good replies. No, shows what it is. Now, the insanity, an uncouth expression is that. I'm no prophet. But if the word of God is true, it comes to the prophet. Then he got to be a prophet. The word of the Lord comes to the prophets. If he isn't a prophet, why does he say, thus to the Lord and God, back it up? That doesn't happen to anybody but a prophet. He's not a prophet to them. He's just saying, I'm not a prophet to you guys. That's fine. I'm a prophet to these people. These folk believe me. So I'm a prophet. You folk, forget it. I'm no prophet. Sure. He's a judgment. He's a judge right there. It's all gone. They were the ones who interpreted the word. It doesn't even make sense, the way they're talking, see. Just to hide behind some petty denomination. One of these days they'll break and mold and perish in hell. But the word of God will endure forever. Upon that rock I build my hopes forever, upon the word of God. Let everything else sink. If I lose every friend, everything else, my friendship's in Christ, for my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. That gun exploded the other day, and I thought it was dead. Had a peaceful feeling. I looked around and thought, well, this is it. What good would a denomination do me then? What good an organization do me then? I'd have to stand yonder at the fiery judgments of God to be judged by this word. I'm telling you right now, then the judging word's in effect. It wasn't before. It wasn't before. It was only potential. Today it's different. See mercy giving way to judgment. See the mercy, see the judgment. Not 14 different things 15,000 miles off. One God, one seat. Evidently, that's how it goes. And to us, he was the judge, the jury, the attorney, the whole thing. And he said, you're caught free. It's all back on the devil. You're the righteous bride. You never did in the first place. Judgment has been pronounced. You say, who's going to carry it out? We're going to get carried out. Amen. That's what he's here for. Third thing he does, take us up. My people, you know, people get so ignorant. I don't understand. You know, listen, I'm going to tell you. Get this flat, brother, sister. The parallelism of Scripture. Blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing. There isn't one time a curse comes, but what, there's a blessing. And there's not one time a blessing comes, but there's a curse. I'm on the blessing side, not the curse side.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Puts you on the positive. So every time you hear these negative things, you sit right here and say, hallelujah, are you the cat eating the cream? You see why? Because there's a separator. And the poor old farmer doesn't know that he got the spot with the cream down in the cat dish. Cat sitting there eating cream. Praise God. Now, you people just got to smarten up, see. I hope you are. Guess I've told you the truth. See, that's why people don't understand the Bible. They say, here's a blessing. Oh, my God. What's going to happen? I just can't get blessed. Ah, shut up. If you're a nut, don't make God a nut. Listen, stand up and be counted at least. Give God the glory. Sure. Now, he said, I'm hoping to, though I may have to scorch and bend and twist and pull people apart. He said, though I had to go through all these contortions, like in all these things, pulling people apart. But I'm hoping to get a genuine kernel out there of the Word of God and there build a soul for eternity. That's right. Let God put in His hands and build it to an obedient child. In other words, when he gets the word out, God takes that word in the people, and the people then begin to form around that word, the word of the hour. How could a man led of the Holy Ghost do such a thing as that, or a woman led by the Holy Ghost do such a thing as that? No, he's holy, and if his life is in you, you are the same, you'll be like him. Now, what's he talking about? Getting off the word of God, joining organizations, and living by the creeds and dogmas, and proving about what you are. See? Now, you'll be like him. You say, I'll be just like him how? Well, we're in process. We're in process. That's another one of those promises. Israel, like us, thought because they were prospering and their alliance had they had with others, that was God's okay upon them. Now, you know, we think that today. I talked to some men here not long ago in a hotel a few days ago, big men in religious realms, and they said, God proves that he's with us. Why, we grew last year, Brother Brent. I forget how many hundreds, like that. That's ecumenism. I said, that's not one bit of approval. That's right. Now listen, this is Barb. Prostitution increased last year about 30%. Love that man. Boy, we're sure brothers under the skin on that one. And you know what he said one place too? Homosexuality increased 30% one year too. And you have homosexualities, men with men doing that which is unseemly, which means men getting their heads together outside the word and creating literal homosexual bastards, if there was such a thing. How could two men bring forth a baby? How could two women? But they're doing it right in the churches. My Lord, you talk about test tube babies and transplants and God knows what. That's exactly right. Shows what it is. That argument, he said, that does that show God was with prostitution? 30% increase. That argument's no good. No, you can't do it. No, sir, God stands with his word. Any other man will stand with his word if he's honest. All right. And that's when it says, many more are the children of the desolate than she that hath a husband, so forget it. All right. They thought they had an alliance. The Bible speaks of an alliance. And we've covered ourselves up with falsehoods, and therefore we'll escape the storm. You won't escape it. Won't escape it. Now, here we'll get to that in just a minute on government affairs. Our nation has turned down the word of God like Israel did. They turned down the word of God and their people, their priests and prophets and so forth, are prophesying good to them. Like millions now living will never die. Ha ha! Billions living are going to die. And I wasn't laughing as a joke, it was a derision. What can we do but prophesy wrong because it's contrary to the word? Now he's telling you, anything that comes out which is like an omen, a prophecy, has got to be wrong. Because they're off the word. Amen. And you see, that spirit that's in them, collaborating with that word, has got to produce a falsehood. Absolutely. She's doomed. Our great beloved nation, based upon our experience of forefathers, then they got to get back to what they had if they're going to be right. Sure, Israel is a great nation. No, look at their forefathers. But God didn't spare them. That old bald-headed prophet. Now, notice all the time it's a bald-headed prophet. Okay? Skinny legs and William Brown. He's talking about himself all the time. Which is fine. He's going to get all his hair fixed. He's got it all back now in the principle. The old bald-headed prophet throwing the word to them, and it happened just exactly the way he said. Read your history here and find out if it's not right. It come to pass just exactly the way he said it. And he condemned them, yet them standing there, those holy priests with holy garments, sprinkling this, and wouldn't move a hand this way or that way, because was something this way, or tradition something. And Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and his works you do. Now listen, they were not living in abject sin. They wanted good and decent morals. They wanted the people right. As Brother Branham said, you do not go to church to become an evil person. You go there to become a better person, and we believe that. But if you're off the word, it's Satan's kingdom. See, that's the thing we're looking at. Now remember, Brother Branham said, when the pure, unadulterated, truly revealed word is here, that's the kingdom of God. Brother, it's here. Oh, I know people just don't believe these things. Look, I do. I don't know. Why? Because I can't help myself. I believe what I preached all these years is going to come back. And if I know the Bible is going to come back a million times better than you and I thought it. Because that's the grace of God. Now they took him, condemned him, hanged him on a tree and killed him. That's exactly right. God raised him up again. Yes, sir. No, they would not believe Amos today. Not at all. And today we made an alliance. We got what we call today. We think if God's okay, because that's our organization. We're increasing. Everything's going the way it is. We think that's God's okay upon it. You know, they joined up, I believe, about 2 or 3 more million Protestants and Catholics. That went several million more. See? They think that's God's approval. Those being Catholic. Protestant is God's approval. Them being Protestants. It's nonsense. It's cannon fodder. It's atomic ashes. It's the wrath of God being built up to explode. That's exactly right. So Pentecost added, how many did Brother Branham add to Pentecost? 750,000 for cannon fodder. What's going to happen? The best they could come is Foodie's version. You say, my, does it happen that way? Yes, it happens that way. Yes, sir. They went right with the flood tides of the sweeping. And remember, when Brother Branham cast that little hook, the little fish, the bait, a fish came by, and all of us like skin stretched over the bait. What's the big fish? Little old bride out there. Catch a bride. Now, if he's not a prophet, then how come he says, you listen to me? I'll tell you the word of the Lord. Amen. Look at us. Look at the world today. Look at our nation. We're joined with the UN. What's in it? A bunch of the ungodly. And we with the audacity not even to let prayer being offered before our session comes in. Did I not just read here? How can two walk together unless they be agreed? That's back in 1946. Did Brother Brown the Ancient came in 1948? United Nations, I guess, came together. God does nothing unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. How can two walk lest they be agreed? When we got Mohammedan, Buddhist, atheist, ungodly, selfish, everything else in the UN. You think God could dwell in something like that? Now you see, the world is looking for a union. And they're walking in their light. Their own light, which is darkness. Well, you say, we're in alliance with them. We got all the Western protection. They had all the nations around them in protection, but that prophet said, God will destroy you. The very God you serve will destroy you for your foolishness. He's saying the same thing this morning. He'd bawl from the White House plumb down to the poor farm. That's the richest of the poorest. He sure would. He'd blast them with the word of God. He certainly would. That's the way of a true prophet. And what about the ministers? Look at us, the churches. Oh, we're the great Holy Roman Catholic Church. Spoken the Bible as a whore. We're the patriarchs, apostles, Protestant churches. All night together. Call the world council churches. Prostitutes and the whores, said the Bible. Exactly right. Well, they sure liked him for that one. Very popular. All the churches coming together. Mr. Collins, a friend of mine, down in Arizona, Elmer. I said, well, I guess you're going to some fine little Methodist church. Oh, I said, I got out of that when they joined the World Council of Churches. I said, God bless you. You're nearing the kingdom, brother. Yes, sir, dogma, depending upon the association with man. Man-made doctrines, leaving the word of God. What we need is a prophet today to blast that word in there. That's it. Exactly, yeah. They take safety among themselves. Oh, we join. We Pentecostals? Sure. We join the World Council of Churches. Now, he calls himself Pentecostal there. Because in there we have fellowship. We'll win them over. Now, when Dr. Graham, I beg your pardon, Dr. Bell, Billy Graham's father-in-law, in Christianity Today, wrote up that the Pentecostals had joined the Council of Churches, they vehemently denied it and demand apology. Dr. Bell never apologized. He didn't apologize for it. They said, we're just observers. Are they? With Duplessis heading the thing up? Not the Pentecost. Mr. Pentecost bringing them in? The man that was so happy when Brother Branham died, he said, that one who condemned, he's condemned and judged others, he's judged himself. Mr. Duplessis thought the wrath of God smeared William Branham across the road. Then it was the wrath of God that took his beloved saints and fed them to lions and manure upon the dung heap. It was the wrath of God that put him in bags with rattlesnakes and threw him in the water. It was the wrath of God then that ripped up the women with babies and fed them to hogs. Mr. Duplessis needs his head examined. Never mind his heart. We know what's in it. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But you'd think he'd have more brains than that. You'd think anybody would. It's not necessarily judgment, my brother, my sister. Because even Elisha died with the sickness. Where was he? He was sick. Be very careful. Yep, like a woman going to Byron to get drunk with her husband to win him to God. More like the husband going to his wife these days to the barman to get drunk to win her to God. Nonsense. Stay off the devil's ground. When anything denies this word, I'm against it. And that makes me against every organization because it's against the word. It ought to make every believer feel that way. Well, but remember, I got a big piece in the paper here. Someone sent from Arizona. How this patriarch so-and-so the other day said, Pope John 22nd, what do they call him? Fine man. The only man that ever talked on uniting the churches, Catholic and Protestant together, said, it might not come in our days, but the next 15 or 20 years it'll be here. That was said in 62. 15 to make 77, 20 to make 82. What's happened? I thought, boy, you being a patriarch, you're prophesying and don't know it, like Caiaphas, you see. It's later than we think. The guy that wrote it to me wrote in the top of the page, it's later than we think. He'd been listening to tapes too. Yes, sir, he said, it's later than we think. He said, Brother Branham, didn't you say this years ago? Sure, yes, sir. It's coming to pass. It's the word of the Lord. It has to, sure. Yeah, they say, well, this holy patriarch, don't you think he ought to know something more than that? No, sir, he denies the word. and look in it like that, he can't. I don't care how many popes, prophets, and whatever you got among you. If you're off the word, you're off the word, that's right. Norman Grubb. Now, that man's world famous. He can talk about love, winning souls to Christ, submitting yourself to God, abasing yourself, denying yourself, until you come right down to it and say, I'm drained. God can fill me. Oh, yes, this is it. Norman Grubb, you're so right. When the ecumenical move came on, he said, this is of God, the greatest thing to happen to Christianity. How much Holy Ghost did Norman Grubb have? Now, I'm not going to answer that question, as though I'm his judge. But I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. There's something phony in Denmark. And it's not necessary to eat them cheese they ship out of there either. Something wrong when Norman Grubb can stand and make a crack like that. Say, well, maybe God will forgive him. Maybe God does forgive him. I don't know. Maybe he's raised up to say those things. To get off the scene and fool the people. But he spoke out of his heart. I don't know. Could be another age. But I'll tell you, let a man rise up today. You better believe he'd be out. Unity. They're getting together. Is that mingling the seed? Sure, in a sense of the word. How could God ever bless such a thing as long as they deny the very word of God? How can he bless anything beside his word? He stands behind his word to perform it. That's all he does. Something that's contrary to his word, how can he not deny what's contrary to his word? How can you bless a cancer that's eating you up? How can you bless a live electric wire you're holding on to say, oh, hold me up and burn me up? It'd be insane. How can God bless anything that's against his word? So get back to the word. You bunch of preachers like hound dogs, what's the matter with you? That was a nice little crack. You go out here and sell your birthright to a mess of potters, you're riding some Cadillac or something, some big high mansion somewhere, $1 million church, all those things like that. Sell your birthright and are ashamed and afraid to preach the word of God to your congregation. So aren't you ashamed of yourself? Call yourself a servant, prophet of God, sell your birthright to a mess to the world? What do you hatch out? The same thing Esau did. What a disgrace. Esau always was a thorn in the side. Ishmael, same thing. Oh no, a holy God watches over his word to vindicate it. It could not bless something that's against his word. Now listen, I know I'm running a little bit late. I may be choking you to death, but look, I want to ask you something. How could a holy God who spoke his word and said, now both heaven and earth will pass away, but that word shall not pass away, not one word. Now how could he take something that's contrary to it and bless it? How could he do it? Look, he proves himself. He vindicates his word. He says what's right, not by membership. Now he gives an illustration that's from Old Testament now to this age. Look at Moab. Moab had his word too, Moab. Israel had his word. Moab had a form of godness with his word. Offered 7 sacrifices, clean bullocks, 7 altars, perfect number, perfect sacrifice. Then beside that took 7 rams, speaking what they believed in the coming of the Son of God, offered them up there with their high archbishop. All their dignitaries, all their priests, high priests, everything else stood around the kings and president and whatever more, offered this just religiously as they could against Israel. And there was Israel down there, a little bunch of renegades looked like. But what was with Israel? God was in their campaign. He was proving himself that he was with them. Now remember, their campaign was going to the promised land. And remember, Brother Branham speaks of a healing campaign. And he speaks of a campaign that Joshua is carrying on. They're going, we're on a campaign the same way. Pillar of fire and a prophet, the word, and we're in a campaign. Now the great healing was to indicate a message. So the message then is literally what the campaign is all about. Because no message, you're not going to go there. So now we're in a land of promise, in a special day of grace where a word has taken over. And I still say that too many people that say they believe this message are sitting on a fence and there's no fence to sit on. They're flat on the ground and don't know it. And they think they can jump. I got a word for you. How many people can sit right on your butts now and do a jump? Go ahead. You ain't going to do it. I speak kind of rough and vulgar, but I mean to. I'm going to lay it right in the line. Now, if you're sitting on a fence, you could jump. But there's not a fence. See, when you turn a corner, he didn't say, I'm going to walk on a fence and turn a corner. You turn directions. And when you turn a corner, you can't look back where you come from. Then why do people murmur? They're repining. They want to go back. Something's wrong. See? So they had this campaign. No matter how many patriarchs they have had, popes or whatever more, God cannot be with them till he proves himself with them. Now we're talking about a special campaign. We're going in. We're on our way. Exodus. Got to prove himself. How's he going to prove himself? Got to have prophet. Oh, God don't need no prophet. Hallelujah, he got me. Oh, boy. See, I know he's got you. Just where he wants you to. Like he had Pharaoh. Oh, brother. Pastor Pharaoh. And as long as they're off of his word and denying his word, how can he be with them? No signs of the living God among them. You say, just a minute now, there's a sign amongst us. We got Mark 16. Mark 16 is not Hebrews 13:8. No way, shape, and form. Oh, no. No, sirree. You're dealing with gifts. You're dealing with little things that God does. Hebrews 13:8 is God. The intrinsic, essential God in how he is in his ways. That's Hebrews 13:8. Not somebody's whummed up ideas. That's the thing we learned in the rising of the sun. Compound meaning. I love what I learned under Brother Branham, what the Holy Ghost teaches. He never finds us, never a jot or tittle out. I believe that. I believe we're running right the race, brother, sister. And I believe there'll be grace at the end of the road. Oh, yes. I believe that. How could God be amongst the UN when you can't walk together without they agree? Now look at here. There's the Church of Christ so-called joined to Pentecost. Pentecost say they believe in the tongues. Believe the Holy Ghost being the tongues. They say this and the other and the other. They believe in signs and wonders. Church of Christ laughs and said, you bunch of ignoramuses. That was the days gone by. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? They just join together. What are they doing? Seeking safety with one another. Away with such stuff. Now remember when God said, Israel, if you go down to Egypt to get their horses and you get their armaments, he said, I'll curse you. They're gone. This whole bunch is gone. See? Seeking safety. Away with that stuff. My safety is in Christ and His Word, for His Word is Himself. That's right. No signs of the living God, not at all. That's what Jesus said. If I do not make the Word manifest, then don't believe it. If God doesn't speak and prophesy through me, and say through me, and do through me just what Messiah is supposed to do, then don't you believe me. They didn't know what Messiah is supposed to do. They thought He was going to move a great big army in and take over. Now what if everybody's all mixed up on the appearing and the coming? They miss it. Plain, simple, miss it. Crucify it. Then they die for it. Because that's history. That's the cycle. That's Alpha and Omega. Can't get away from it. See? Then a guy says he's a prophet sent from God and deny the word. God be merciful to such stuff. How can God ever do so? Well, this fellow Hagin calls himself a prophet. I don't doubt that he is. I don't doubt that at all. I heard there's two kinds, though. You take your pick. I didn't say a thing. I just said, you take your pick. Let me ask this now. I don't know when I'll speak to you again. That's up to God. I'm just laying in food like He told me in the vision that time, putting in the barrels. Members on tapes. Not in the church. This church doesn't have anything stored up here. This is the stored up food right here. What I'm trying to do is to cut it down and to make you to understand it all the more. Get more and get your zeal more intensified. You ask me, how could Amos foresee what was going to happen to him? Why, it looked good. Look now, look here. Look close. Because this is all on tape and it goes worldwide, see. Look here. In that day of Amos, there was Israel. They had their seminaries and were in better shape than they ever had been. Nobody bothering them. At peace. Their own religion. Nobody said, you can't worship Jehovah. Go ahead, said the heathen nation. Worship. We got an agreement. So go ahead. You take the Roman Catholic Church for years has had dialogues with the Buddhists and all the rest. Didn't he go to Tibet and have a great time with the fellow over there and many spiritual laws? Boy, certainly their father the devil gave him a good time. Watermelon stew. Absolutely. You know what happens to watermelon, you stew it? Go ahead. Just like eating frozen cucumbers in the spring. Rotten fruit. That prophet saw through that, see? So would a prophet see through it today. Go ahead. Go ahead, join him. No problem. Israel said, well, let's eat, drink, and be merry. They got a bunch together and made some creeds, organization, nomination things, fixed it all up. Women just lived in luxury and sin out there. Carried on in cabarets, everything else, half-dressed, little silk-like skirts on. I think he's trying to let you know that they're see-through. If you ever saw some of them, their history of those days, how they looked, almost one-third as bad as they do today. Most people didn't catch that. They thought he said, we were one-third as bad as they were. He said, they are one-third as bad as we are. You'd be surprised what your tuned ears can trick you into. Oh, I think I hear. Yeah. Ha, 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 man, there's something in it. Not quite, though, because they couldn't. Yeah, and how they did and carried on like that, and kings and priests, everything else. Jesus said, you devour widow houses, you hypocrites. He said it. And all those things they were doing, that prophet's standing there looking down upon that nation like that. No wonder his heart was torn out of him. Yes, sir. In other words, you've got to understand here that William Branham didn't have a great bunch of joy saying things like this. He wasn't carried away with his own verbosity and zeal. It killed him. It might not at the moment, but it would kill him later on. Now you say, how did he know it was going to happen? How could he foresee it? How? It all looked good. Why, they got plenty to eat, plenty to wear. See Laodicea. Big churches, prospering, money sowed everywhere, luxury, dance on the street, immorality, everything else going on, everything going fine, just like America today. Television full of dirty jokes. Huh, he should be here today. Half-stripped women. Half-stripped? Fat. A baby's born with more on than women today. Because they deliberately expose themselves. Kid doesn't, little baby can't do anything about it. Everything you see, men do the same thing, but they have front on, don't worry. Everything you see today is just muck and sin. Don't have to look at television, just open your eyes. Look anywhere. Girls, boys, men, women, smoking, drinking. Them Jezebels call themselves Christians. Filthy devils call themselves Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Catholics, Pentecostals. One place he called them witch doctors. No wonder he narrowed his eyes and looked. That's right. All looks good. How can you save it if we're going to... Look. Oh, we got a million more. Our buildings, our churches, so fine, so new. Well, we got so much money. Don't know what to do with it. We just built the biggest place in the nation. Biggest churches. There it is. We own them. Still got plenty of money. Don't you think God bless us? No, you're off his word. And Brother Branham, you mean God's going to destroy this? Every one of them. How do you know? Amos, how do he know? Just like a doctor diagnosing a case. See, that's law. Diagnosis is law. The churches are under law. Creeds and dogmas. Do this. Do this. Do this. See, join us. Join us. Join us. You don't do that with Christ. Just let me come in. Let me come in. Let me come in. See. All right. When he finds a disease, he knows what to do. He knows what the patient's got. He knows how far it's advanced. He knows what's going to happen. And that's the way with the prophet, a true prophet. When he sees, I don't care what you're doing. When he sees sin advancing, it's an eating cancer. Cancer's eating up you. And it's in such an advance in the Pentecost and the rest of them, it can't come back. That's Pentecost can't come back. The cancer's there and ain't going away. It's an advanced stage. You're going to perish. That's how Amos could diagnose the case. He diagnosed it by the word of God. That's how true prophet diagnosed the case, said to women, don't you ever try to go to judgment with bobbed hair when you know better. Go to judgment. We say, Brother Branham, didn't you say in the vision everybody had long hair? This judgment, judge. Shamed in his presence. They haven't got enough brains to be shamed in his presence. What does the word of shame mean? It means you're naked. It means you're in adultery. It's a big mess. Say to the men, resty, you preachers, denying the word, having a form of godliness, joining organizations to dodge the issue and know better. See, my church says so. You look at the same word the true prophets looked at and diagnose the case of death, separation. Just like a doctor, he knows the case. He knows the symptoms he's got. Look at this nation. When you say Pentecost are done, are they done? Won't even let you come to church because you preach to women about their bobbed hair and the Bible condemns it. Afraid you'll say something about it. See, then that's love. Oh, we love the Lord and love the people. We wouldn't say a word about that. You know, they are so stupid. They think the Apostle Paul said, now listen, women are not to cut their hair. There's something about the thing here about women. And it's got to do with their hair. Now you watch and you see you're right. But if you don't have that idea in your church, it's okay. You do what you want. Is that what Apostle Paul would say? And people have tried to explain that to me. And say, well, he says, it says right here, if you don't agree. I said, now hold it. There's a sign on the street that says, no U-turns. And you make a U-turn. And the cop hauls you in. And the judge said, well, he said, there is a sign there, but we don't pay any attention to that. He said, you're free. The guy's crazy. He let you get away with a misdemeanor and lost the city $50. Could have fined you. No, they don't do things like that, Brother Sitcher. Here the other day, I was making up some campaigns on the West Coast, and Brother Borders brought them together, a bunch of ministers, maybe 40, 50. They had a great meeting. They said, Mr. Borders, want to ask you something. They said, is it true, Brother Branham, use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to baptize? Mr. Borders, a very dignified gentleman, as you know, said, sirs, Brother Branham went on a campaign. He doesn't preach. Just goes ahead, prays for sick. That's what he does. And they said, that's not what I asked you. Does he, said they had the tape so they knew, does he baptize in the name of Jesus Christ? Yes, in his own church. That's the only place he baptizes, in his own church. He said, that's it. That's all I want to know. We don't want him. We don't want that heresy among our people. But they could have short skirts, adultery, deacon run off with the preacher's wife or niece or anything else. Or just pianists all indulging in sin, sex. Yeah. Come on, people, wake up. Listen, can you read between the lines that I know things that you don't know going around the country? Well, will you smarten up and take my word? And get out of this junk if you're in it. Get out if it's the last thing you do. Start changing your lives and smartening up. I'm telling you, as a friend, and knowing what I'm talking about, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's plumb out of control, and it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to lull to sleep those that are caught in their stinking sins. And it's going to have an effect upon those who are even in the election if they don't realize what is going on, why this is the way it is. It's held in store for judgment. He's already come as our judge. Get it? There's the three purges have got to go on. And it's held in store. Don't you know they're ripening and we're ripening? What do you expect? You say, well, my daughter. I'm sorry for your daughter. Smart enough. Well, my son. My wife, my husband, my father, my mother, this, that. I'm sorry. Why do you think I preach this way? You think we don't have kids? What's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with it? You want to stand for them? You better have something to stand for you and me. And know these things going on. 200,000 spirits loose to the Euphrates to kill off the Jews. Spirit of Antichrist amongst us. Every way, shape, and form. The Bible's laid it all out. It's filling up. See? Now, turn him down. We don't want that heresy. The other day, my good friend Ed Dalton got a letter from the Baptist Church and said, we excommunicate you from Baptist fellowship because you joined the heresy of being baptized in Jesus' name. What's a heresy? Heresy means some opinion. So they said, Paul, you've got an opinion. We have the truth. So they said, William Brown, you've got an opinion. We have the truth. Well, why don't you prove it? I told you a while ago and preached time after time, nobody can prove anything. But there's a great day coming, hallelujah. There's a great day coming, you're going to find faith is vindicated. Okay. Oh, sure. I like to stand with Paul in what the world calls heresy. That's the way I worship God, because it's his word. Yes, sir. Now, the world called it heresy, but God called it truth. Oh, sure, the doctor diagnoses the case. He sees where it is. A true prophet diagnoses the case for the word. He what? A doctor diagnoses his case by the symptoms. Is that right? He looks at the symptoms. He sees what's the matter with the patient. He sees how far advanced it is, said that nothing can be done. A true prophet takes the word of God, diagnoses the case, throws the medicine into it, the people throw it back in his face. Now, that's what William Branham said. He said, I hold your noses, and I force it down your throat. You spit it right back in my face. That's one of the last messages he preached in 1965, December, just before he died. 2 weeks about before he died. Maybe 14 days, somewhere in that area. Nothing can be done. What's going to happen? Perish, that's all. Pleasure loving, world street bunch of so-called hypocrisy. But that's the way of a true prophet, oh my. He sees the diseases. He sees that they got away from the word, saw the word, knew the results, what was coming, saw the luxury that they were living in, saw the women, the way they're acting, saw the way the priests were doing, how they got away from true worship of God, and things like that. He had it. He had the answer. He said, that God that you claim, you serve, will destroy you. Now, a little while ago, I mentioned about the fact that he's talking about ecumenical movement, talking about the world, the church, the whole thing messed up. And at the time Israel was in captivity in Babylon, and every time they got in a mess amongst the heathen, the priests married wrong women. They married Gentiles, which mingled the seed. And that's exactly what happened day after day. People invariably choose a wrong seed to marry to. And therefore, they cannot produce Christ. There's no way. There's only one way that this thing can be right, and that is to be married to the true seed. And that's to be really born again through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have no evidence outside of a word. It's the word. And this word, in this hour, has been vindicated. Now, he says here, he said he saw this whole thing, he knew what was wrong, he had the answer. And what was the answer? That God that you claim, you serve, will destroy you. Why? You haven't kept the commandments. You didn't do it. When I chose you, of all people, America, chose this nation, he said, you didn't do it. He said, finished. He said, it's all over. And so, therefore, I have got to tell you, as a true prophet of God, I come at a time of apostasy, the same as all the others, a time of heresy, a time of idolatry, a time where judgment has come. And I'm sorry, it tears my heart up, but I got to tell you, you're finished. And they said, ha, 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 look at our crowds. Look at our blessing. Look at what's going on. We're winning the world for Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you stupid judge. Sit down. And when he died, they said, well, it's a bit of a problem because he had so much, but hallelujah, we're vindicated. Take it your way. I got it mine. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we're very grateful for your love, mercy, your compassion. How you've helped us, Lord, to see the way of a true prophet. And we know the world doesn't go along with this. All they see is a man blowing his own horn. A man that had his ministry, a great ministry, and the ministry was too big, so he got too big for the raiment you gave him. That's all they can see, Lord. But we see, thus saith the Lord. We don't see the miracles anymore. We don't see the sign that points to what was to be pointed to. We see thee revealed, the Son of Man revealed. We see Luke 17:22-30. We see it all down in there. We see the ravages, on the other hand, of Matthew 25 in there, where the condition is with the false prophets. We see these things, Lord, and we rejoice to know that there was something in our hearts that which was and could only be a seed that made us to believe and understand and to hear a voice that we could believe, which told us all about the judgment, but told us all about the grace. The same two mountains once more, blessing and cursing, and we are now Mount Zion, part of the heavenly Jerusalem. We have heard the final voice of the last hour. We believe our God is a consuming fire. We know that. Our God is. And we shall reign and live with him 1,000 years. Lord, we rejoice in that. And we know it has nothing to do with us per se within ourselves. It is because of you. It is your foreknowledge, your election, your predestination. We see it. And we know that you love us. And nothing will separate us. Nothing, whatever. And whatever comes, Lord, I know that in ourselves we're not ready. It's so easy now to talk. What'll it be? If this is in the green, what'll it be in the dry? Understand that, Lord, but I understand that you're God. And if we're right in our witness, our motivation is right, and something in us, far beyond us naturally, this same thing, this same you, same God, same life, whatever we're dealing with now, can't maybe express it exactly perfectly. It is going to rise up in that day. It will not fail. There will not be one lost. There will not be a failure. For you said in that hour you didn't lose any save Judas, and he was already lost, the son of perdition. So, Father, we know that having loved your own to the end, you love us all the way through. That you are here now as you stood the breach there, you'll stand it again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May we be more sober, more serious than ever before. Help us, O God. We know that is no fault of yours. It lies on our own fault. For all things, as you said already, all we praise you for tonight, Lord, we cannot thank you enough. Be with each one as we go. Bring us back again to your house, Lord, the coming memorial to your resurrection. Let it be a time of fellowship and blessing in our God and our Savior, unto whom be glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Let's sing, Take the Name of Jesus with you. That's the brand name we carry. We're married, but we also ought to bear it worthily, which we have every, not only obligation, and we have every right, and we have every ability through him who loved us. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.